Sure, I'd be happy to do that. I guess speaking really just from, I guess we can, there's gloom and doom we can talk about in the future as well, but I guess the future I'm willing to talk about or prepared to talk about right now is probably a more rosy one. Maybe it's hopefully the near future here with a theme of can't we all just get along? The three points I really want to discuss briefly here is cooperation, understanding and commonality of use with credit default swaps, and to finish up, clarity when reporting. In the first panel, Mr. Pickle made some reference to the tear-up process, describing how there was an initiative to reduce the outstanding notional and reduce the systematic risk in the outstanding market of credit default swaps. In that tear-up process, there was a perceived accounting issue that needed to be overcome. The industry was able to get support from the Securities Exchange Commission to help get the accounting to be more in line with the economic purpose of the compression initiative. So that's an example of cooperation. Hopefully we'll get more cooperation in the future amongst all people in the regulating body, accountants as well, in a quasi-regulating, auditing type environment, along with the users of the financial statements, all helping to come in line with the preparers. The second point is under the point of understanding or commonality of use is under FAS 157, non-buyers or sellers of protection, non-dealers, will be looking to the CDS and currently do look to the CDS market using the concept discussed in the previous panel of similarly an implied rating when adjusting credit neutral market conventions on mark to market to a more representative fair value under FAS 157 where collateral is not posted, taking into account the impact of counterparty credit on an asset position at fair value or one's own credit in the financial statements or footnotes for a liability position. As there's more and more use of credit default swaps to price this CVA, or credit valuation adjustment, there will be a commonality of use. They'll become very common to people. Maybe I'm just a shoe manufacturer. I don't have any derivatives. I don't hedge, but I've got fair value disclosure in a FAS 107 to do. I look to the credit default swaps market. I see the spreads. I use those spreads to evaluate the credit position I have to do on my own liability that I report in my footnotes. It becomes kind of offhand. And the third point I want to bring up briefly, which is clarity when reporting. Better understanding on the accounting treatment for derivatives in the income statement. Most purchase protection, it's very difficult to qualify for hedge accounting, as was described in the panel two. Written protection premiums received or paid protection premiums and the mark-to-market changes are currently required to be reported in the same line in the income statement. Those, as most of those positions are non-hedged derivatives or otherwise don't qualify for hedge accounting. There's an issue for financial guarantee insurers and reinsurers in that their regular insurance policies that are also considered to be a derivative when guaranteeing an instrument that is a derivative have some of the same accounting, whereas they have to report in the same line item. They're effectively have to either record credit losses as a component of revenue or forego the revenue and report the revenue as a component of gain or loss. Many times these things could be overcome by simply robust and transparent disclosures which allow users of the financial statements to overcome these issues in their analysis. Thank you.